And now it's my pleasure to introduce our speaker this evening. Our dear friend and fellowshipian, Bill Dietrich, is going to inspire and enlighten us. So please welcome Bill.
Hi.
Hi, Bill.
Time for a meditation, right? You gonna play something? All right, thanks. Close your eyes, please, unless you don't want to. Relax. We're gonna take a few deep breaths together. On the exhalation, make the sound of ah, breathing in together. Ah. And a second time together. Ah. And one more time together. Ah. We say ah because it is the sound of God. Ah, God. Aloha. Jehovah, Buddha, Krishna, Allah, God, Yahweh, God. Let that sound, ah, reverberate in your mind. Let it fill you and surround you, for we live and move and have our being within God. God is and I am. Say in your mind, God is and I am. God is and I am. Let us take these few moments to be with the ever-present and eternal spirit that is always with us, to be aware of it, to accept it, and to accept the truth that we are it. You are God expressing as you. You are God in form. You are a song that God has written, a dance that God has danced. You are God expressing as you. Let yourself feel that presence, the presence of God within you and around you. Feel it in your heart center. See it in your mind's eye. Feel it and see it within you and around you. Feel it radiating from your heart center. Feel that unconditional love growing, glowing, radiating outward. And just as your heart sends out a vibration of to 15 feet of its electromagnetic vibration, so let the vibration of love go outward from your heart center, beyond that, for the love that you radiate is infinite. Know that the love radiating from you creates healing. And so whoever comes to mind who's in your life right now, see the love that you radiate as a healing presence in their life. See them benefiting from your love and light. And if a memory comes up of your past, maybe one not so nice, see and feel your love radiating upon that, healing it, letting it go, helping you move forward. And a current situation in the world that might be troubling to you, see your love radiating outward and having a healing influence on that situation. Know that you are God expressing as you. You are the Christ, and you are dealing with God expressing as others. You are a Christ mixing and intermingling with other Christs. Whether they look like or act like that or not. But your vision, your ability to see the Christ in others, lifts them up, helps them to become God in form, helps you to become God in form. You are God being you. Say that in your mind. I am God being me. I am God in form. I am God expressing as me. And let us give thanks that we know this. And that giving thought and energy to this truth makes it so in our lives. We are thankful. And so it is. All right, here we are. Some of you may have seen the Facebook activity these past few days. I don't see Beth Monteith here. She posted about the dress code in Congress, that women are not allowed to wear sleeveless outfits. And so my response was, I never thought I'd see the day when the Republicans would be against the right to bear arms. Miracles can happen. They can happen. My talk today is not really about Republicans. It's related. A new idea of God. I know some people have an aversion to that word, God. It's just a word. If you look at it in the mirror, it says dog, kind of. God backwards, dog, you know. Is that sacrilegious? Okay. Because I think some dogs are actually pretty godly. Unconditional loving, you know. Really. So this new idea of God, is God then masculine or feminine? That could be a trick question. God does love you like a mother, right? Nurturing, nourishing, unconditionally loving, comforting, holding you when you're afraid, telling you how beautiful you are. And if you didn't have a mom like that in real life, you always had God. Did you know that the Kabbalah elaborates on the theme of the feminine aspect of God? That she would appear as Matronet, the glorious figure of Shabbat Hamalka, queen, bride of God, celebrated every Sabbath by Jews all over the world as they light the Sabbath candles. And who lights those candles? Do you know? Always a woman, yeah. Always a woman lights those candles. And you've heard of Shekinah, yes? Shekinah. In biblical times, Yahweh is the masculine aspect of God, God up above. Shekinah is the presence of God, the presence in the temple and in the home, and that's a feminine word. And Asherah, you've heard of Asherah, some of you have, fertility goddess who was once worshipped as a companion to Yahweh. The meaning of the name Asherah is goddess of motherhood and fertility and lady of the sea. And did you know that in Genesis, God is called Elohim? And that El is masculine and Eloha is feminine. And so Elohim is a feminine term with a masculine suffix, actually a masculine plural. So, feminine singular with masculine plural. Does that make sense? Elohim. So it's both. Both masculine and feminine. And if you open up a Bible, if you have one of those, and you read the first few verses, God is called Elohim. So, traditionally, there's no gender given to God, but only to aspects of God. if that makes sense. God can be pictured as male or female, whatever helps you. The truth is that throughout history, people have made God in their image. And we see that today, right? In any religion, anytime someone says God doesn't like this or that, or God approves or doesn't approve, they're creating God in their image, as opposed to the idea that we're created in God's image. Early Unity writings, New Thought writings, offered a new idea of God, at least to the Western world, and to some degree to the whole world. Not an anthropomorphic being, not a spirit that moves about, and definitely not an opinionated, judgmental being from whom you must gain approval. But instead, God is the one presence and one power in and beyond the universe. God is all there is. God is immanent and transcendent within us and among us, and also beyond this reality that we know, beyond this universe. God is one in being with all, yet also differentiated, the Creator. And through differentiation, God is you and I. You and I are God. Makes me think of that movie with Shirley MacLaine where she ran around on the beach saying, "I am God, I am God." Do you remember that? Did you ever see that? Was that Out on a Limb or one of those ones that she did? Yeah. God retains oneness of being in union and relationship with you. So there's differentiation, not separation. Relationship, not separateness. Union, not isolation, not segregation. So all appearances in the world, poverty, disease, conflict, loneliness, are illusions created by an existence where there's not a relationship with God. So we keep making choices between one illusion and another in this separate reality that we have created. A separate reality that can't exist in truth, but only in illusion. So this new idea of God, it's offered in New Thought, Unity, Science of Mind, but also A Course of Miracles, A Course of Love. I mean, there's differences in the details if you read those different systems, but generally speaking, it presents that idea of God. And of course, God is just, it's a placeholder. It's a name that we call it. You have to have something to call it, right? I mean, God, to me, is ineffable, indescribable. And the moment you name it, you limit it. But you got to call it something. You got to make a reference to it. So if we understand that, I think that's fine. So God is being in unity and relationship with everything. Therefore, God knows you. And God is one with you because you are one aspect of everything. God is one with every thought, feeling, with every creation. All-knowing, omniscient, God is collective consciousness that links every being with every other being in unity and relationship. With this in mind, we can form a cooperative relationship with God. So when you pray then, you're not appealing to a separate being, but to the relationship. Jesus, who led the example life, was both man and God. And being God did not negate him being man, and being Jesus did not negate God. He lived in relationship and unity. That's why we call him the example. In most churches today, Jesus is celebrated as the exception. Here, we talk about Jesus, if we talk about him, as the example. There's a difference, right? In the exception, it's follow me and follow the rules, and I'll lead you to some distant place called heaven. In the example, follow me means adopt the same kind of state of mind that I've adopted, because you're just like me and I'm just like you. Only difference is I've already accomplished this, and so now I want you to do it. He lived in relationship and unity, and he said, "I and the Father are one." All right, I got to pick up the pace. I'm losing some people. Okay. Oh, I have another pun. You all remember Raymond Burr, right? Did you know that he had a brother who was a lumberjack? His name was Tim. Get it? All right. I like that one. I like puns. They're fun. All right. What I'm doing when I'm looking down is like skipping over stuff, you know, because notes are, I treat notes as suggestions, you know, because I gave a talk called this morning, and this afternoon's version is not necessarily the same as this morning's. Similar, but same title at least. So to create in union and relationship with God is to be God in form. That's really the goal, to be God in form. That not some entity out here taking over us, but our true self expressing through us. We are God in form. So the question is, are you willing to be that? Are you? Is that something that you're okay with? If you're not, it's okay. I mean, eventually everybody comes around to it, I think, but you know, you are where you are. That's the question. Am I willing to be God in form? So what does that mean? What's it like to create in union and relationship with God? What it doesn't mean is beseeching God, begging God, recognizing that when you pray, you are the one who's praying, you are the one that you're praying to, and you are the one who answers. It's not some being up here making a decision as to whether you get an answer or not, or you get what you want. So, did you mention the law of attraction to me? Yeah. I'm not a big fan of The Secret and things like that, because they leave the source and God part out in a lot of ways. It's kind of like, whatever you want, you can have it if you just believe. And I don't think that's true. I think whatever you really want, meaning if what you want is you. Does that make sense? If it's you, if it's you have a deep feeling in it for in yourself for it. It's like if you're wired for it. Like if I decided I wanted to be a star in the NBA, I could want that all day, you know, and affirm it all day and practice, but it's just not going to happen. Because I'm not wired to play basketball at that level. I'm wired to write books. I'm wired to give talks. And so, how far can I go in that? How far do I want to go? That's what's important, I think, with the law of attraction stuff, is not wanting what you think you're supposed to want or going after this thing out there, but asking yourself, what do I really want? Who am I? And to me, the best thing you can accomplish is to be yourself. Whatever that is. And that's success. I don't want to be Bill Gates. Do you? Do I want his billions? Not really. I mean, if I had them, I guess I'd figure out what to do with them. But it's not something I'm going for. Everybody doesn't want the same thing. Some people just want a simple life. Have their bills paid and be able to be in peace every day. And that's enough. Other people want something else. We're all wired differently. And I think that's what we call God's will. However we're wired, your will, God's will, same thing. There is no difference between the two. So here's a kind of an affirmation. The one presence and power of the universe acts through me and as me by my choice. As I choose to become God in form, each situation and each moment open up new opportunities. So what I'm saying with that is, as we let go and let the Spirit run through us and stop trying to make it happen and fix it and manipulate it, that things start to happen. Things start to open. Things we don't expect. And we are in awe of the miracles. Now, you're probably not going to remember that statement I just made, right? That's why I put it on a card for you. So, would you pass them out, please? Yeah. That's so we can wake you two up.
Oh.
Just kidding you. Giving you a hard time. And I wrote something on the back, actually by hand. Some of them have some words crossed out because I was messing up, but I corrected it. Hopefully you can read it. I hope I have enough. Looks like I do. All right. Thank you, Rob and Karen, for passing those out. I appreciate it very much. All right. So this is my little experiment with living like this, because you can't learn to live this way. You can practice, though. You can practice being the presence of God. You can practice being God in form by being aware of it and just doing it. It's not about a certain way of behaving. Like if I tell myself, I should be more compassionate. No, it's not going to work. But if I say, I am God in form, and I start acting from that, I'll automatically be more compassionate. What you do comes from who you are. So we're talking about, at the core, practicing being who you are. So in my life, in the last several months, last few months, there's been a fair amount of drama. I have a teenager. A lot of you know that, right? A lot of you remember when she was a baby, when we first brought her home to the fellowship. Anyway, we've had our struggles. And I've had to really practice this, to step back and see the beautiful young woman who's there and not see the behavior I might be confronted with at the moment. None of you have ever seen that, so, but you've had other teenagers in your life, so you probably know what I'm talking about. You've had a few, haven't you? Yes. They get moody, don't they? Especially girls. They do. Not the same. It's different. Anyway, it's just how we're wired, right? Anyway, so one of the things that came up for me is, and this is a very strong thought. I remember the day this, I don't remember what day it was, but I remember the day is, I'm not the father she needs. That wasn't, oh, poor me, I'm a bad father. That was a deep concern for her that I'm just not capable of being who she needs me to be. And the way I dealt with that was to accept that I felt that way, to accept the feelings, and to just be with it and know that the feelings actually come from love and concern for her. And I stuck with it. I kept stepping back, seeing her as she truly is, seeing myself as I want to be, doing my best not to allow the anger that would come up to draw me into forcing things. You know, when they're like 7, you can kind of force things, but 17 doesn't work nearly as well because they're so much smaller when they're 7, right? You can kind of grab them by the arm and lead them somewhere. You can't do that with a 17-year-old, or you shouldn't do that. Probably shouldn't do it with a 7-year-old either, but you can. That's the thing. Anyway, at moments when I was tempted to push, to reprimand, to use verbal force, I stepped back and asked questions instead. So I experienced my doubt, I experienced my fears, my upset, and without necessarily expressing them. And what happened was, moments opened up, and I was able to see peace where there wasn't. I'll give you an example of one miracle that has happened. One of the things that happened is, I took the phone away. And with teenagers, you know, that's a big deal. Mistake number one was buying an iPhone 7 Plus and giving it to a kid, even if she is 17. And so it had to be taken away. And it's like 6 weeks later, and it's still not given back. It won't be given back ever. There is a 5C, though, that's available. And it's available here, and then it's given back. So it's like I give it out on loan. Does that make sense? And the miracle is, my daughter agrees with that. She sees that she was addicted seriously to her phone, and it was destructive, and it caused a lot of problems. And there's all kinds of things. Are you all familiar with Snapchat? If your kids are on it, get them off. I did some research on it. Well, it was about 33% of it is a sexting site for teens. Not only that, but they send pictures, and the picture disappears after 10 seconds. However, the person at the other end can take a screenshot, and they have it forever. And if you put something on Snapchat, Snapchat owns it and can do whatever they want with it. It's not a very healthy kind of thing. So here's second miracle. Of course, my daughter is off it now. But yesterday, she's talking with three of her friends, three 18-year-olds, and she convinced them to delete their Snapchat accounts. And they all did it right there in front of her. Because she convinced them how useless it was for them to be a part of that. There are other sites out there like that too. Kik. K-I-K. Are you familiar with that one? It's supposed to be for adults, but kids get on it. Same kind of thing. Other ones too. There's a lot of stuff. Internet is wonderful, but it has a dark side. Anyway, the miracle is that we've got this really close relationship going, and I found the role that I need to play, a very firm and strong but loving and accepting father. I know of a guy who has a daughter who really caused a lot of issues, and so he just checked out. He says, I'm done. And so mom is handling everything. I haven't seen him or talked to him. It's friends that my wife knows. But if I were to see him in person, I would verbally kick his butt. You don't get to resign from being a parent. Because as much as your kid might do whatever, they need you. And I found that too. And that's a gift that I received. But I received it by letting go of my tendencies to react and to let God express through me and as me. Now, I don't do it perfectly, but I did it enough for this situation to be going pretty well. I haven't told you a lot of details or all the things we're doing, but that's not necessary. You get the point, right? Yes? The point is that something that looked like where I thought, geez, I'm not the right parent even, to it's going okay. That to me was a big miracle. And so I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the results of what I'm talking about. So the thing is that when we recognize that we are God expressing as us, that we are God in form, we recognize then that we are Christ's interacting with other Christs, whether they act like a Christ or not. It's not faith in a God who's a compassionate being, but a knowing that God is all compassion everywhere. God is all wisdom, all love, all peace, all joy, all prosperity, all wholeness. Those are all God-like qualities, and they're ours to express. There's nothing to learn or study in this. There's no book to read, no set of classes. It's just practice. So what do we practice? And I was thinking about that as I was cutting up these cards, and I thought, oh, I think I need something besides this. So I took all of your cards, and I wrote three things on the back. And if you got one that's scribbled out, I have some nicer looking ones here. I got doing them really fast, and I made a few mistakes. So, anyway, so first, be willing. That goes back to the question, am I willing to let God express as me? In other words, to be who I am in truth. Am I willing? Are you willing? That's a question for you to answer. Number two is accept. Accept yourself exactly as you are. Accept how you feel in this moment. If you're angry, then be angry. Accept it. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're sad, you're sad. Accept it. Why fight it? You don't have to inflict it on everybody. Just accept it. If you did some things in the past that were not so cool, accept it. It happened. It's done. Accept it. It doesn't mean, though, you have to accept conditions that you don't want. So in the situation, my family situation, it doesn't mean I have to accept certain behaviors. But it's very important that I accept how I feel about those behaviors and then ask, what am I going to do about it? As you look around you in your life, there may be conditions that are either personal or that are out in the world. You don't have to accept them. But you certainly need to accept how you feel about them. So first you need to know how you feel. How do I feel? If you're driving by Frandor and you see a homeless person with a sign, you can just say, well, there's going to be homeless people no matter where you go. You don't have to accept that there's going to be homeless people everywhere. But how do you feel about that? How do you feel about homeless people being out there? How do you feel about that situation? And what do you want to do about that feeling? That's what I mean. You don't have to accept conditions, but you do need to accept how you feel. Acceptance is the beginning of transformation. Without acceptance, there's no transformation. We accept who we're being in this moment and how we're feeling, and then we move forward. And then the third piece there is be yourself. Now, a lot of us are probably in the second half or second third of life, right? And we've already hit that spot where we don't give a shit what other people think, right? About us. If I want to wear something or do something, I do it. And a lot of you are like that, right? You don't need approval from anyone. You just do it. Good place to be, isn't it? Especially when you think back to when you were younger and you were so worried what everybody thought. And now not so much. That's great. So that's part of being yourself. But it also means speaking up if you disagree or if you're uncomfortable with something. If people are gossiping about someone and you don't like that, then you don't have to accept that. Why wouldn't you just say, you know, I like that person. You're all gossiping and I don't want to hear that. So it's being who you are and being willing to speak it, being willing to step up, not giving up who you are for a relationship or for a situation, not selling yourself out. That to me is being yourself. And that brings us closer to God, because if who we are and what we truly want is God's will, then we need to be it and do it. So speak up. Speaking up doesn't mean going around criticizing everybody, but it means giving voice to where you're at and where you want to be. So be yourself. We live in unity and in relationship with God and with each other. Our behavior comes from who we are. So the real choice that we make is not necessarily a behavioral choice, but the choice to be who we are. Am I God expressing as me, or am I this ego or personality that's separate, isolated, whatever? So the choice that we all have, that we can make, is to bring God into form in ourselves. And I think that's when we're truly happy. That's when we feel content. And that should do it. Thank you.